Hola y buenos días. Dios te bendiga. God bless you. Welcome to another episode of the Radiant Sessions podcast. I am your host, Luz Selenia. I'm so grateful once again to be here for those who have been supporting me each and every single week, for those who have been sharing, and for those who might be your first time listening in. This is episode 29. And first, before we get into this week's topic, wanted to remind you, if you haven't listened to the previous two episodes, 27 and 28, go back and listen to it. I have an offer for you. If you feel like that offer resonates with you and fits with where you are, where you're trying to go, and if you have listened to it and you feel that is you, make sure that you send me an email to radiant@luzselenia.com or DM me at The Radiant Sessions on Instagram and let me know you're interested. The first 5 to 10 women who reach out will be able to join in on this introductory phase as I pilot this program, this community that I am starting for women who are desiring to expand their spiritual practice, decolonize their faith, decolonize their beliefs, their sexuality, learn more about being sensual and what it means to be a divine feminine in this earth. If that's you, reach out. I look forward to connecting with you. I'm so excited about starting this and really laying the groundwork of what this community could be and how it could and how it will change all of our lives, including mine, because I'm still learning. As I guide, I am always trying to expand my knowledge, my wisdom, so that I can pour back into others as I'm being poured into as well. This week is going to be a little bit on the lines of what we've been talking about, but it also was inspired by a conversation with one of my brother homies that I've known for almost 20 years now, and was counseling him, so to speak, on some relationship stuff and trying to give him some feminine perspective for some things that he was struggling with in his relationship with his girlfriend. And the things that he was describing sounded all too familiar because it's something that I have struggled with pretty much my whole life, and that is good girl syndrome. Yeah, good girl syndrome. It is a thing. And good girl syndrome, if you're not familiar with that terminology, I'm sure you could figure it out in what I said, but good girl syndrome is the quintessential good girl. She is the girl who has a fear of disappointing others, fear of speaking out for fear of hurting others. She thinks that she always has to excel. She can never make mistakes. She always is trying to avoid conflict, trying to be the peacemaker or obey the rules, and also finds it very difficult to refuse someone if they're asking her for something. She is the girl who always minds and respects her elders, especially men. She, regardless of her own opinion, does not disagree with others publicly. She's supposed to keep to herself anyway, you know, remain virginal. People know what to expect of her. The word no has no place in her vocabulary, especially for those who are positioned in her life as authority figures or elders or family, or as we grow older, even sometimes friends. She is not selfish or inconsiderate. And most importantly, when she's doing all these things, all of these people-pleasing things, she is immaculate. She's always smiling, always happy, and she never makes a misstep, regardless of how she feels on the inside. Sounds ridiculous, right? And even more than ridiculous, it's kind of sounds impossible, because no one is perfect. No one on this earth can live life not making mistakes, not making other people unhappy, not hurting others, not disagreeing, not disappointing. That is an impossible feat. And yet, overwhelmingly, girls are raised with these types of expectations. It may have been that in so many words, that was the messaging she actually received by the elders in her life. Or maybe it was messaging she received via trauma. Or maybe it was messaging she received through church. Or, like me, it was multi-layered. It was, you know, being a sensitive child, having childhood trauma, abandonment issues, feeling like I had to be perfect to keep people in my life. And that was confirmed in so many ways by what I was being taught in church. And it is a weight that I want all the good girls all over the world to lay down, because this expectation that we are supposed to be a good girl often, if not always, comes at the expense of ourselves. And it's way too expensive of a cost for us to continue to pay. It's not fair. We're not living life for ourselves. The scary thing and the very tricky thing is the programming that we've received. Oftentimes, we are not completely aware that this is something that we're struggling with, because we learn to find happiness in making other people happy, whether it's our friends, our families, our lovers, or everything in between. And if it's really, really bad, and you're trying to make everyone happy in your life, and you're trying to not be selfish or inconsiderate with anybody, I'm sure that if this sounds like you or someone that you know, you're aware that in trying to make everyone happy, you're usually disappointing somebody, including and likely yourself, most importantly, if you're aware of that. And I'm here to tell you, like, there is a way out. It is not easy. It takes a lot of work. A lot of that work for me has been about connecting and reconnecting to my body so that I can have the necessary awareness of how things feel in my body when they feel good versus when they feel bad. And allowing that connection to my body and my spirit to confirm which direction that I should go in for me, regardless of how it impacts other people. And yeah, even saying that is like, oh my God, that feels so selfish. And most of us, dare I say, grew up feeling and learning and thinking that being selfish was evil. Oh my God, I'm not supposed to be selfish. The devil is a liar. You can be selfish without being a selfish person. A selfish person to me is someone who is always selfish, who never considers other people, who is always doing things at the expense of other people. But that's not what I'm saying right now. I am not saying to be selfish at the expense of other people. I'm just saying that you should not deny yourself and make other people happy all the time, or even any of the time, at the expense of yourself. Why are you constantly putting yourself, your spirit, your mental health, your happiness, your joy, your time, your energy, your money, your body, your sex on the chopping block? Because of what? Because you want people to think of you as a good girl? Congratulations. You're a good girl. Now what? I was a good girl at one point, and I would cry to myself to sleep because when I got home alone, I'd have to look myself in the mirror and be like, I'm doing all these things. I'm doing all the right things. I'm doing all the things that I was told I was expected to do. Why is it that it feels like other people are getting what they want and I'm still left holding the bag? While they're out there enjoying life, free, clear, peaceful, joyful, and I was miserable when I really, really was honest with myself. Now, outwardly, when I was around other people, I made it seem like it was a joy. I love doing it. I love taking care of my family. I love saying yes to everyone, despite the fact that I really didn't want to do it. I love loaning money to people when I know I didn't have it and my bills were going to probably default or something. I was going to be late. I loved it. I was a fucking liar. And as a Christian, like, you still lying. That's a sin. Like, who cares? You're being a good girl, but you're lying. So you're still sinning. So now what? Now the fuck what? The thing that makes me sick about it, well, one of the things that makes me sick about it is how this good girl syndrome essentially is society, culture, religion, weaponizing femininity against ourselves, as opposed to using femininity to empower us, to feel good and make decisions based on what makes us feel powerful and beautiful and like the gods that we are. It's a truly manipulative tactic to squeeze us dry. And it doesn't do us any good. And it doesn't generally get us what our soul desires. What I often see is that it gets us what it looks like we want on the outside. And then we have to continue this facade so that we can continue to appear like we're happy, even though we're not, until someday, one day, it crumbles, we crumble, or both. because it's not sustainable. Or you grow old and you die miserable. And you're ornery and just terrible to be around. Because you have no joy in your life. And so you take it out on everyone eventually. Like, or again, you keep up with appearances and you just continue taking it out on yourself. And in order to have a healthy relationship with those outside of us that are connected to us, we have to first be able to have a healthy relationship with ourselves. Now, I'm not saying that in the sense of, you know, you can't be in relationship with other people now. Like, we can do both. We can heal from both. We can learn and do both simultaneously in some way, shape, or form. But it's easier to recognize healthy connections when the source of that connection, which is ourselves, is also healthy. And how do we do that? First, I'm going to tell you to be brave. This is not going to be easy. This is something more than likely that you were taught as a child before you even had the autonomy to choose how you wanted to be. This is what they told you to be in some way, shape, or form. So you're going to have to be brave. Be brave to start making the changes. You got to learn and become very clear on what you want. Ask the questions on what your motivation is when you're doing something for others. Stop yourself from just saying yes automatically without really taking into account what it will cost you. And that's not just money. And does that cost negatively impact you? If you genuinely do not want to help someone, don't do it. Do not disrespect yourself in that way. Stick to your principles. Don't know what your principles are? Figure that out. Sit down, set aside some time, and write down what you believe, what your values are. What are some things that you know, this is how I want to live my life. This is how I want to be portrayed. This is how I want to act in relationships. This is how I want to be honored in relationships. And therefore, this is how I will honor myself. Because something that I learned is I have a mouth. And so in my mind, when somebody would disrespect me, oh yeah, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to tell them about myself. And, you know, you ain't going to disrespect me, that we do, neck rolling and everything. And then I realized, like, oh, not that they were right in disrespecting me, but they're disrespecting me because they see that I regularly disrespect myself. So I'm teaching them how to treat me by example, by how I treat myself. Especially if they're toxic. Now, if they're healthy individuals and mature, you know, they have their own values and they're going to treat you based on their values, not necessarily based on how you treat yourself. But if you are dealing with toxic people in your family or your friends, I'm here to tell you, boo, they are a reflection of our lack of boundaries. Oftentimes, and our own self-esteem and sense of self-worth. I say it all the time. I do not believe that you attract what you are. Light attracts all matter of people, beings, things. It is our boundaries and our values that helps us to decipher who is for us and who is not. We set boundaries to teach people how to remain in connection to us. They disrespect that boundary once or even habitually, because it doesn't have to be more than once for you to decide you crossed the line and that's it. They made the choice to not be in your life because you determined what it would take for them to remain connected to you, and they decided to sever that connection when they disrespected that boundary. I used to be afraid of being considered a bitch for those reasons, because I'm like, that sounds like, oh my God, that sounds like a bitch. And I'm just like, someone who would consider me a bitch because I have standards and boundaries, then I'll be that bitch. Because generally, those people get what they want because they have the courage to ask for it. And they have the courage to not accept what they don't want. And here's the thing. We can be good people and still have boundaries and not torture ourselves and not force ourselves to put on the appearance of being the good girl when deep down inside, we're really not her. That's the catch. You really aren't the person that you're trying to portray yourself to be. If you were, it wouldn't be such a problem. And if you are, you can disregard all the things that I said. All those things, great. I'm happy for you. But if you aren't, like so many of us, stop fooling yourself. They have a soul. Leave it alone. The people who love you, it might be hard for them to relate to you differently because they're used to a certain amount of way, but they're still going to love you. To be very honest, the people in my life who love me, when I began to make this transformation, not that they love me more, but it was like a breath of fresh air. Because by trying to keep up with this good girl syndrome image, we kind of put people in boxes that almost doesn't even allow them to be honest with us either, because they know that we're not being honest with ourselves. And oftentimes they'll think that we'll judge them because we're such good people. And it makes it hard to have authentic connection sometimes. Because once again, you're not even authentically connected to yourself. We're living in a pandemic. Yeah, we're still in a pandemic. We thought it'd be over. It's not. The world is on fire. It's flooding. There are human rights situations happening from United States all over the world. Like, we ain't got time for this faking our way through life. Because we scared of what people are going to think about us. If you believe in heaven and the idea of going before God in judgment, guess what? It'll just be you and God. It's just you and God. You can't drag nobody around with you to deflect your choices onto. And sometimes I'll be like, it's not even that that guy's going to ask, like, well, why did you do this and why did you do that? It's going to be like, yo, do you realize how much I have for you that you didn't have access to because you were too busy focusing on what other people wanted from you? And all you had to do was be honest with yourself. So you can open your eyes and just reach out and grab it, because it was there. You just couldn't see it because you were too focused on this image you're trying to continue to portray. So you wouldn't even allow yourself and give yourself the permission to have what you wanted. Get it? Even saying this is just like, there's little bits and parts of my body that are still a little bit uncomfortable with what I'm saying. I'm still working on it. I'm a lot better than I used to be. But, you know, it does go against the grain of some very deep programming. It's a muscle. Keep working it. It'll be stronger and stronger and stronger the more you work at it. The more you resist the good girl programming that you received. And then watch how you become even more aligned with God and yourself and easily manifest the things that you desire at your very core. This has been episode 29. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope it helped you. Reach out to me if you're a good girl and you want some accountability. We will definitely be working on that in the Radiant community. Please make sure you visit the website at www.lucelenia.com. Check out the merchandise, t-shirts, mugs, bags, as it's about to be fall, going to start releasing some more fall attire so you can be prepared. And I would love it if you would leave me a review on Apple so we can spread the word and get some more family members over on this side, healing and growing and being radiant together. Until next week, have a great one. Shine brightly. Bye-bye.